Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavitha Thapley. Boris Johnson is all set to become the UK's next prime minister, although not in a democratic fashion which involves the general public. His immediate task will be how he will have to deal with Brexit. Will he go through with a no-deal Brexit scenario? Wouldn't that mean that UK's economy would come crashing down? And how about when it comes to foreign policy? For example, how will he deal with Iran, from the nuclear deal to the tanker incident? Before discussing tonight's topic, let's go to London first, where Press TV's Richard Sudan is standing by to give us an update about the Johnson election. At this point, Richard Sudan, what can you tell us, and tell us how the people there in the UK have received this?
So there were a lot of things at play, we should say, first of all, but I've been on the ground talking to people all day. And you know, I've not found one person who's excited about the premiership of Boris Johnson. And the reason for that is Boris Johnson has a long track record of offending just about everybody. And also he's got a record of incompetence in office. This is what's come to characterize his political legacy, if you like, thus far. So I think, you know, Boris Johnson's ascension to Downing Street has to be viewed in the context of a ever-increasing, deepening political crisis, which has engulfed Westminster and arguably polarized much of the country. Now, essentially, the task he faces isn't too dissimilar from Theresa May. He's going to have to try and get the deal through Parliament or some kind of different deal. But I think a lot of people are concerned because he's showing an ideological commitment to a no-deal Brexit, whatever the cost. So I think people, you know, they want to see someone who can unite the country, unite Parliament. And at the moment, people see Boris Johnson as struggling to unite his own party. Of course, the Conservatives were already operating with a wafer-thin majority under Theresa May, and Boris Johnson hasn't yet set foot in Downing Street. And of course, we've seen an array of resignations. There'll probably be more resignations to follow. And so the task ahead of him is quite monumental. And of course, the other thing is Boris Johnson, you know, he's wanted this job arguably ever since his days at Eton. But the problem is many people think his record of offending people is arguably going to extend to Downing Street. Of course, he made a number of well-known gaffes when he was Foreign Secretary. So I think people are worried about the crisis of Brexit, how Boris Johnson intends to solve it. Many people see him as one of the individuals that was instrumental in pushing the referendum, which ultimately led to a Leave vote. But I think people are also concerned, you know, rightly, about Britain's reputation abroad and Boris Johnson's seeming ability to offend everybody and inability to unite people. So I think all eyes are on Westminster and Downing Street now. We saw from Boris Johnson's speech earlier, characteristically high in rhetoric, low on substance. And again, you know, regarding the question of Brexit again, just for a moment, and the situation of the backstop, he's claimed, you know, to be able to put some kind of to bring Parliament together. But quite what his alternatives are and how he's going to deal with, you know, issues central to Brexit remains to be seen. I think people are hoping that, you know, he'll kind of do a reversal from the kinds of things we've seen him say and the kind of policies we've seen him enact. I think many people see this as a bit of a dark chapter unfolding in British politics.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Richard Sudan. We appreciate it. Let's bring in our guest for this edition of the debate. Analyst at Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams, joins us from New York. We also have editor at Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first go to London and ask you, Marcus Papadopoulos, are you excited about Boris Johnson becoming the next prime minister of the UK?
Well, let me say this first of all. As a member of the House of Commons' press gallery, I can tell you that the atmosphere today at Westminster was remarkable. It was electrifying. There is already talk of Boris Johnson holding an early general election. There is already talk of leadership challenges against Mr. Johnson. There is already talk of votes of no confidence against Mr. Johnson. It truly is astounding that within a short period after Mr. Johnson's victory was announced, that there was talk of a leadership a challenge to him. It's incredible times we're living through at the moment. But what I can assure you is this: Mr. Johnson will not have a honeymoon period. Why? Because he inherits a Conservative Party which is bitterly divided. His Conservative government has a wafer-thin majority in the House of Commons, and that wafer-thin majority could become all the more thin on the 1st of August, because on the 1st of August there is the Brecon by-election, which, according to the opinion polls, the Liberal Democrats are set to win. So Mr. Johnson is celebrating tonight, but he will not have a honeymoon period. Ultimately, what will keep Mr. Johnson in 10 Downing Street? It comes down to two things. First, if he can deliver Brexit, and number two, if the Brexit he delivers is suitable for the British economy. Now, if he can deliver both of those, then it will be game on for Mr. Johnson. That is when the morale, the confidence of the Conservative Party will receive an incredible boost, and he could hold a snap general election next spring. Mm-hmm. But if he fails to deliver Brexit, then his time in office will be extremely short-lived, and indeed he could go down in history as having been the Prime Minister who served the shortest time in Downing Street.
Well, you already had three people go at this, Ian Williams, and I wanted to talk about the B word a little bit later on in the program, but let's talk about it now since our guest brought it up. So is he going to be defined by this Brexit, and will this, even if he pulls through with whatever decision that happens between what he, carves out with the EU, maybe later on it'll show the true colors of what his decision is on Brexit on British economy?
Well, he is reaping what he sowed. He pushed for a referendum, not as a means of getting Britain out of Europe, which I don't think you particularly cared about, apart from expressions of prejudice, but as a means of him becoming leader of the Conservative Party. That was the whole purpose of it. So he won that expedient victory with the referendum, to everybody's surprise, including his, I suspect. Now he's in a position that he has to deliver on it. And frankly, I don't see a successful Brexit, because I don't see how there can be a successful Brexit. There's none of the circumstances around, none of the parameters, whether it's Northern Ireland, where you're fixed with an international agreement and an agreement, and his majority depends upon a sort of fanatical fundamentalist party that has fixed principles on this. You've got the whole idea of what he can and cannot accept from Europe. And the Europeans aren't budging. He wants a stronger negotiating position, he says. He doesn't have a strong negotiating position. He can't have a strong negotiating position. There are, all those other countries in Europe have their own positions. And just because Boris is now saying, make Britain great again, does not make it so any more than the other guy across the Atlantic saying, make America great again, makes it so. But it'd be difficult to underestimate. I think it'd be easy to underestimate him, because he is a showman. I mean, he is like Trump. He was consistently misunderestimated, to use George W. Bush's words, for his electoral popularity. He appeals, this type of buffoonery and clownery and naked, unbridled prejudice definitely has its fans. And he's playing to that gallery just like Trump did. Trump got elected with a big majority. He still has a hard core. And Boris Johnson might still be able to do that. It wouldn't surprise me. If we're in Trump country, then it might be possible for him to say, oh, we can't do Brexit after all. Let's try something else. And get away with it. Just a sheer effrontery will do it. This is basically what Trump's been doing, of course. Almost every promise he made has been broken. And nobody seems to have noticed. And if you do it with enough bravado and puffery, like Boris Johnson seems to be a worthy acolyte here, then you can get away with a lot. So I'm prepared to be profoundly disappointed, because as several of my American friends here have pointed out, the special relationship between Britain and America seems to be a shared predilection for idiocy in its chambers of power.
Okay, so you talked about general elections there, Marcus Papadopoulos. You had the Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn slamming Boris Johnson, saying that he should have been elected by general elections rather than just a Conservative Party leadership. Do you think that this is something that's going to plague his appointment? And what are the chances of that happening? You said that people are talking about general elections at this point.
Well, indeed, that was on Gordon Brown's mind in 2007 when he was minister. He became prime minister through a coronation. And I think the same we can say about Theresa May. And I believe we can apply the same to Boris Johnson. Mr. Johnson, who in a very short period of time will become prime minister, knows that he does not have a mandate from the people. And that will be on his mind. But nonetheless, he has an opportunity. He has an opportunity before him to deliver Brexit. Now, it's a big if as to whether he can do that. I personally come at this from two angles. On the one hand, I think to myself, how on earth can Mr. Johnson succeed where Theresa May failed? But on the other hand, even though Mr. Johnson has said, and the Brexiteers in his party, who are his core base, have said there can be no compromise with the European Union, I suspect privately Mr. Johnson and the Brexiteers at Westminster will be saying to each other that this is a last opportunity now. If we show no willingness to compromise, then Britain could end up never leaving the European Union. On the other hand, if we have to swallow our pride, so to speak, and compromise and negotiate with the European Union, then the agreement reached with Brussels might not be particularly to their taste, but they might see it as, well, it's not ideal, but at least we will leave the European Union. Now, if that happens, then I believe that Boris Johnson will then focus on making Brexit a success for the UK economy. He will sell it, he will lobby it hard within Britain, and then his team will look at the opinion polls. And if next spring the opinion polls are favourable towards the Conservative Party, that is when I suspect he will hold a general election in order to get a mandate. But consider this, if he is unable to deliver Brexit by the 31st of October this year, that is when he could say, let's have a general election this November to resolve the matter. So these are very unpredictable times at Westminster. Okay. But I don't believe anyone should underestimate Boris Johnson. People underestimated him in 2008 when he was first running for the Mayor of London. Not only did he win in 2008, he was then re-elected in 2012. Though I don't think he's a particularly good politician, he does have a great deal of stamina and perseverance, and he has widespread support in Britain, in particular in England.
Okay, Marcus Papadopoulos, why is it then that we're looking at Brexit defining him in the sense where it's almost as if since he has been chosen, some may think, well, now is the time for him to think about a solution, him and his advisors. But I'm guessing that this has happened, that he has probably been advised on the solutions to take on his approach towards Brexit and to figure out a solution, not for it to be off-the-cuff reaction based on just him getting elected. What is it that he will do? I know you said that there's going to be some compromising, perhaps, that's going to take place behind closed doors. Do you think that's the route he's going to take?
Brexit, whether you like it or not, is the most pressing political issue that Britain has faced since the end of the Second World War. And it is Brexit that brought down Theresa May. And it is Brexit that could potentially bring down Boris Johnson. Conversely, Brexit could make it for Boris Johnson. This could allow him to remain in Downing Street. This could allow him to go to the country to hold a general election, a snap general election, and to be returned with a favourable majority. And I really do believe that the Brexiteers at Westminster, the Brexiteers amongst the Conservative grassroots and Boris Johnson understand privately that in politics you have to compromise. Remember, the Brexiteers did not like Theresa May one bit whatsoever, but now they have their man in Downing Street. They don't really want to bring him down. If that means compromising with the EU in order to get the UK out of the EU, then I believe they will do it, because otherwise they could end up in a situation where Jeremy Corbyn wins a general election and becomes prime minister.
Okay, Ian Williams, if you have us, I'd like to go on to the next topic from Brexit. It doesn't look like Ian Williams. Ian Williams, if you have us, let's move on from Brexit now to the foreign policy arena. And if we can discuss Iran with you. Okay, he's not with us. Marcus Papadopoulos, Iran as a foreign policy challenge is what has been cited to be number one on the list, high on the list. What approach is Boris Johnson going to take with Iran? We know what he has stated, but then there's, in terms of Iran, diplomacy and saving the nuclear deal. He's made it clear that those are the two things that he wants with Iran. But then you have the appeal or the traction between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, for lack of a better word. And we know how Trump feels about this. So is he going to align himself with Trump on this?
I don't believe that there's going to be any shift whatsoever in British foreign policy. Indeed, if Jeremy Hunt had won the Conservative Party leadership contest, there wouldn't have been any shift in British foreign policy. I don't believe that Iran is going to be the number one issue for Boris Johnson in terms of foreign policy. I believe it will be Iran and Russia. And when it comes to both countries, yes, Boris Johnson has a very hostile approach to them. He has made numerous attacks on Iran. He has accused Iran of fostering regional instability, of being a threat to British and American interests in the Persian Gulf, in a threat to the supply of oil from the region. So I don't think Boris Johnson is going to be any different to how Theresa May has approached Iran. Of course, when it comes to the JCPOA, that will be very interesting to see. Will Boris Johnson maintain Britain's support to the JCPOA? Now, what I can say to you is that when Boris Johnson was Foreign Secretary, it wasn't so much Boris Johnson who was maintaining support for the Iran nuclear deal. It was actually the senior civil servants in the Foreign Office, the permanent undersecretary, the deputy undersecretary, who were telling him this is the best policy for Britain to support the JCPOA. Now, of course, the senior civil servants of the Foreign Office were horrified by Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary, mainly because he was lazy. He wanted the title of Foreign Secretary, but he didn't want the work that came with it. Now, as Prime Minister, the Foreign Office will be pressuring Downing Street to maintain Britain's support for the JCPOA. But as you correctly said just now, Boris Johnson is politically close to Donald Trump. So it is conceivable that under Boris Johnson's premiership, the UK could withdraw its support for the Iran nuclear deal.
Okay. Ian Williams, same question to you when it comes to Iran, how he's going to deal with it in particular. Obviously, you have on the top of the list the Iran nuclear deal or the JCPOA.
Well, I do believe there is an institutional continuity that the senior civil servants and the foreign policy establishment in Britain, which is much stronger than their equivalents in the US, where its political appointments dominate. So nobody is going to gainsay Trump too much, even though they still manage to. But in Britain, I think there's a continuity there, and he will attempt to. But what we have to look at is these details. If it comes to an election, I would be very surprised if it doesn't come up that he was the one who sacrificed the British ambassador to Washington to Trump's tantrums. I mean, that should really be playing on the foreign policy field. A lot of Brits actually rather resent the subservience to the United States, and the subservience to somebody like Trump is doubly galling. So I think that will come up. And one of the issues here, of course, is that might still ricochet out of control is the British or Gibraltarian arrest of the Iranian tanker and whatever actions follow from that. I mean, I think the legality of that is extremely dubious, and the politics of it possibly is even more dubious. He's got, and it seems that he was partly responsible for this, in the sense that he was obeying Trump's orders, and that he'd already disarmed the British foreign policy establishment in the face of Trump. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now, and whether his bluster will actually get us into a bigger and deeper hole than we already are.
And finally, Marcus Papadopoulos, you mentioned it's not just Iran that's going to be a challenge or at the top of the list. Also, you combined Iran with Russia, I believe, or maybe separately, but both to be at the top of the list there. What type of approach would Boris Johnson perhaps take based on his past actions or statements when it comes to Russia?
Well, in regard to Russia, I believe that Boris Johnson will most likely increase the British military's presence in Eastern Europe, most notably Poland and the Baltic states. I believe that Boris Johnson will probably increase military assistance to Ukraine. And I believe that if Boris Johnson is successful with Brexit, if he delivers Brexit, then he will automatically place British sanctions, severe British economic sanctions on Russia. But then I have to be reasonable and say that if Jeremy Hunt had been successful, if he had won the Tory leadership election, then he would have most likely increased Britain's military presence in Eastern Europe, and he too would have, after Brexit, placed British sanctions on the European Union. And if Theresa May had delivered Brexit and Britain had left the EU, she also would have placed British economic sanctions on Russia.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to end it there. Let me thank our guests, Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams, talked to us from New York. Editor of Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, spoke to us from London. That does for this edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitagwe, entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye. Until next time.